In Genesis 2, God gives Adam and Eve a choice, and they totally blow it. So why did God give them a choice in the first place? Welcome to the first episode of a new podcast we're calling Reflections. My name is Cherie Hayes. I'm a writer here at Bible Project, and I get to be your host. We want this podcast to encourage your relationship with Jesus and to help you reflect on what you're learning with him. Each episode includes a message from one of our Bible scholars. It also features a narration of the scriptures. And at the end, I'll invite you to reflect on some questions to help you take it all in. In today's episode, we're exploring the book of Genesis and how it relates to the choices we face every day. Listen in.
Hi, this is Carissa at Bible Project, and this week we're looking at Genesis 1 through 11, the very first stories of the Hebrew Bible. The introductions of stories are crucially important. Think of your favorite story and how it starts. It probably introduced the main characters, began with a level of stasis or stability that's soon to be interrupted, and it probably also brought up the main problem of the story. The same is true of how the story of the Bible begins. I would go as far as to say that these initial chapters, Genesis 1 through 3, are some of the most important in the Bible to know by heart or be super familiar with. And that's because they set the stage for the entire story to come. They introduce the initial patterns that later authors use and play off of, and they have a lot to teach us about our own design and purpose and role in the world. So in the very first chapters, we meet our main characters, God and humans. Adam is the Hebrew word for humanity. If you read Genesis 1 and pay attention to the repetition of words and structures, you might notice that humanity stands out as the pinnacle of God's creation. Days 1 through 5 are pretty rhythmic in their structure and length, but when the humans are created on day 6, there's a lot more detail given, including a blessing and a command to rule, and the statement that these ones are created in God's image. This is also the only moment in Genesis 1 where the pattern of God saw that it was good changes to God saw that it was very good. And this is all in Genesis 1, 26 through 31. The point is that humans are designed to rule as God's partners on the earth. But why would he do this? Certainly the creator of the universe is capable of ruling on his own. But you'll see throughout the biblical story that this God delights in sharing his good things with humanity. He wants humanity to participate in his good purpose. His purpose is human flourishing, that this good world he created would be enjoyed and cared for by humanity, and that it would be a place of perfect love and unity between God and humans, and also among humans. So just like the introductions of our other favorite stories, here we find our main characters in a place of stability or shalom, where there's relational unity and purpose. But this is also where we're introduced to the main problem of the entire story, and that's where this mysterious tree comes in. In the middle of the garden is a tree, two trees actually, the tree of life, which represents connection and relationship to the giver of life, and the tree of the knowledge of good and bad, which represents deciding on our own, apart from connection with God, what's good and wise and how to live. The point is, the humans are faced with a choice, and it's a choice we're all faced with every day, whether we trust God and his way or go our own way. And it's the choice that plays out in the biblical story over and over. God wants people to respond to him with trust and faithfulness, trusting that he's wise and good, and that this is how the whole world will participate in the benefits of blessing and relationship with him. But like in any relationship, trust can't be forced. So God gives humanity a choice. Will they place their trust in him and remain connected to him and his good way of life? Or will they choose to discern their own path forward apart from him? And you probably know how the story plays out. The first humans turn away from the giver of life, and this starts the downward spiral that is Genesis 3 through 11. It's important to notice that even at the beginning of this downward spiral, in Genesis 3:15, God promises hope. He says that a human will come from the woman who will crush the snake. In other words, this human will deal with evil at its source. So as we read on, as the story develops, we're meant to be looking for a faithful human who will trust in God's wisdom. Unfortunately, in Genesis 3 through 11, we see the exact opposite. In these chapters, you'll observe the fracturing of relationships on every level and increasing amounts of violence. This section culminates with the Tower of Babel, which represents humanity's desire to become gods themselves rather than be connected to the true and loving Creator. So the choice to trust frames the rest of the story for the humans, and this choice also frames our own lives as humans. It's a choice to hope and trust in the snake-crushing human, and it's a choice to place our trust in the God of the universe, to trust His way, to trust that He desires that humans would flourish, and to trust that He desires that we would truly rule with Him as His partners. The choice is to trust, which means it's based in relationship, in getting to know the character of God and experiencing who He is, and then to orient our whole lives around love for Him and partnering with Him to love the world.
Genesis 1:26 through 31. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Then God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, and every tree that has fruit with seed in it, they will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth, and all the birds in the sky, and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw all that He had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Genesis 2:5-9 and 15-25. Now no shrub had yet appeared on the earth, and no plant had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not sent rain on the earth, and there was no one to work the ground. But streams came up from the earth, and watered the whole surface of the ground. Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east, in Eden, and there He put the man that He had formed. The Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You're free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat from it, you will surely die." The Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the wild animals and all the birds in the sky. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds in the sky, and all the wild animals. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs, and then closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. The man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man." That is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. Adam and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. Genesis 3:1-15. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die." "You will not certainly die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized that they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." Then he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" The man said, "The woman that you put here with me, she gave me some of the fruit from the tree, and I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and all wild animals. You will crawl on your belly, and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." Genesis 3, 1 through 15.
Okay, now let's review. God created humanity to partner with him, to expand the goodness of his creation. That partnership, like any relationship, requires trust. And since real trust can't be automated or forced, God gave humanity a choice. Will they trust and stay connected to him to expand the goodness of his creation? Or will they do things their own way, apart from him? This choice shapes the storyline of the whole Bible, and really, our entire lives. So, let's reflect. I have three questions for you to consider today. Listen closely, and feel free to pause if you'd like more time. Here's our first question. From what you've learned so far, what are a few ways the Bible describes God's character? Okay, hopefully you were able to remember a few biblical characteristics about God. Now, ask yourself, how did these specific characteristics make God trustworthy? All right, now here's our last question. What would it practically look like for you to trust and rely on God today? Thanks for joining us for today's reflection. If you'd like to go deeper, visit BibleProject.com/study. You can sign up there to receive the video and all the other questions that go along with today's message. In closing, let's pray. Father God, you are good, and your plans are good. Thank you so much for calling us into partnership with you. We're amazed that you do that. We're also painfully aware of the ways we resist partnering with you. Too many times we think we know better and go our own way. We make a mess. We need your forgiveness. We ask for your restart. Please help us as we seek to refocus our trust and reliance on you this week. And thank you. Thank you for your promise to do just that, to help us. Thank you for Jesus, the snake crusher. It's in his good, powerful, and trustworthy name that we pray. Amen. Today's show production and scripture reading was by Dan Gummel. Today's message was by Carissa Quinn. Show notes by Lindsay Ponder. Our theme music by Grant William Harold. And I'm Sheree Hayes, your host. If you enjoyed this new show, please take a minute to leave a review. Your reviews help others find the podcast. We read each and every one, and we love hearing from you. Do you want to read through the entire Bible this year? This podcast is following our one-year Bible reading plan titled, One Story That Leads to Jesus. You can find it on our website at BibleProject.com/onestory. Bible Project is a crowd-funded nonprofit located in Portland, Oregon. We provide free resources so we can all experience the Bible as a unified story that leads to Jesus. It's free because of the generosity of people from all around the world just like you. Thank you.